that God said would come. They're here. You can tell me that's just my opinion over and over and over again, and I won't agree with you. This is it. I can't tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year. But I can tell you that it is drawing near, and that the bloodshed that is occurring in the Middle East was supposed to occur, just like it is with ISIS and the other terrorist groups. And if you look at the fifth seal, read what it says, and consider what you've heard on the news and read in the newspapers, I don't see how you can classify that as anything else. If you're young, I realize that's not good news for you. And even if you're middle-aged, I realize it's not as good a news for you as it is for me. But it's here. Now, you can do one of two things. You can either ignore it, or you can prepare for it. And I'm not just talking about being saved. And most of the Bible is about this. Yes, there are a lot of things about salvation in the Bible. But there are more things written in greater detail of what God wants from you after He saves and seals your soul. I don't know how much more time I have, but it can't be all that long. When you get in your 80s, you're drawing close to the end. It makes no difference to me one way or the other. But one thing that does make a difference is my question: are you letting Jesus make you ready? Now it's up to you. Jesus has known before the foundation of the world who would receive Him as Savior and who would not. But it is not God's will that any should perish or that any should come to repentance. So what preachers are supposed to do is to tell you the truth about salvation, about baptism, about the church, and about the marriage supper of the Lamb. It does make a tremendous eternal difference how you're rewarded in heaven based on your willingness to let Him have His way in your life. And quite frankly, that's what's going to determine who's in the bride. So, believers, are you letting Jesus make you ready for His marriage supper by submission to Him? Do you think you make yourself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Do you think that you're the overcomer? Did you ever ask yourself, why am I an overcomer? Who makes me ready? Do I have any righteousness of my own? Do I have any goodness of my own? Can you answer those questions truthfully? I can. I have no righteousness of my own. It was given to me. It's all I have. It was imputed or counted to my account by Jesus Christ. Period. No exceptions. Do I have any goodness? Not of my own. Never have. Jesus Christ imputed His goodness to me. It also is a gift of grace. And the Father even drew me to Him. Jesus Christ fulfilled three offices: the office of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am not an overcomer on my own. I do not work hard to become an overcomer, because I know how I am an overcomer, and I know why I'm an overcomer, and I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I am an overcomer because Jesus Christ was the overcomer. Jesus Christ is the only man born of woman who overcame. And he overcame to the extent that God resurrected him from the dead. You say, well, I thought you said Jesus Christ was God. Yeah, he is. And he resurrected himself from the dead. Now, if you don't do anything else in your life after you're saved, I want you to understand that all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ, and he is God. And he is the only man who ever overcame on his own, being conceived and born without sin in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And the only reason that I am an overcomer is because he's alive in me. And the question is, how much will I overcome? I thought that Leonard covered that beautifully in the Sunday school lesson. He started off in Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, you'll never have any peace till you learn this, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what it says, and that's what happened. But Jesus said he had the power to resurrect himself. He was God. You don't have a second class Savior. You don't have a weak, lily livered Savior. You don't have an off and on and gone again Savior. You have the real and only God, who is Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And he even tells you who he is. That great shepherd of the sheep. What were believers in the Old Testament? Sheep. That great shepherd of the sheep. What are they in the New Testament? Sheep. How were they saved in the Old Testament, and how are they saved in the New Testament? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You want to know how to please God? Leonard couldn't have made it plainer. Just try to do what he wants you to do. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Not yours, his. There needs to be a change in your life. There needs to be a change in my life. And there needs to be a continual change in a believer's life until he draws his last breath or loses his mind. And that's why you hate to come to church so much sometimes. Because it convicts you. And it makes you realize, somebody loves me. I'll tell you who loves you. Jesus Christ, Almighty God. And he's the one who got you here today. And he's the one who gave me this message. And I prayed and prayed and prayed that I'll deliver it just like he wants it delivered, so that man can understand it and that it is from God. Make you perfect, mature, in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, he wrote this to a church that was primarily a Hebrew church in Alexandria. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation... For I have written a letter unto you in few words. What he just said is pretty plain. And if God said that, and if I didn't misinterpret it, it's pretty plain what you need to do. Let me tell you how easy it is. What's the last thing Jesus said to the church in the Great Commission? Listen very carefully. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. You say, Brother McElmurray, you've told us that time and time and time again before. I know, and I'm going to tell you again. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What does that make, Jesus? Who has all power in heaven and earth? God. Now, let's just take the Great Commission the way it's written simply. We don't have to jazz it around and tell people they have to get out and knock on every door in town. We don't have to do that. If you do, praise God, go right ahead and be my guest. And I'm not saying anything against that. But what does it say that we're supposed to do? He says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Therefore is a conclusion. To what? To tell people something. What? What he just said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? That all power in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus Christ. And he is the Savior and keeper of your soul. And there is no other God besides him. And the power of God is what rules us and lives in us once we receive him. So yes, I'm an overcomer. But why am I an overcomer? He lives in me. He's an overcomer. So how much am I going to let him overcome in my life? There's an inheritance. How much of it do I want? All of it. All of it. I'm baptized. It didn't save me. But it was in obedience to his Spirit who let me know I should be baptized the way he directed. And the Bible indicates you should be directed by the ones to whom Jesus Christ gave the authority. God gave it to John. But Jesus never baptized anyone. And John had the authority from God to baptize Jesus. And now this church, right here, is dressed better than that first New Testament church. We bathe more regularly than they did. We have more to eat. We've got more prosperity. But they followed him because he was dear to them and they were dear to him. All right. I'm sitting here as your pastor. Was I baptized properly? Absolutely. I was baptized by the proper authority by a local New Testament church. Okay. What does God really want from you? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God himself fulfilled all three offices. And when you are baptized here, we have the authority from God because we still practice the New Testament teachings. It's not because we're pretty or cheerful or wonderful or you feel excited about us. Or because we do all the things we do to make you feel welcome. That's what we should do. But the truth of the matter is, if God hadn't done this, none of us would have any power at all. And all we have is his power that he gives us, and we can ward him off. That's why he said in the next verse, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. How about the Lord's Supper? How about baptism? How about loving one another? How about where he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples. You say, I thought you told us we couldn't love him with all our heart and mind and soul. We can't, but he did. And when we fail, he forgives us. We ask him for forgiveness and he forgives us. I think that we just don't. Leonard said, if you loved him, you'd serve him. When I first came up here, I didn't realize that with the impetus and force that I do now. Listen, you don't have much time. You say, but I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. You don't have much time to do what God wants you to do. If you're not scripturally baptized, get scripturally baptized. If you're not attending church regularly, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together at this time. Start assembling. If it bothers you, ask God to forgive you. And then the next time you sin, ask him to forgive you again. How many times will he forgive you, Kenneth?
Forever and ever.
No, Ken, you told me it was 490 times.
That's me.
Okay. Listen, he'll never stop forgiving you. But you're never going to lose a guilt. If you're convicted when the word is preached to you, welcome to the club. I was convicted for a long, long, long time before God ever got me to say, okay. And I'm very hard-headed. Thought I knew everything. Really didn't know anything. Now, believers, are you letting Jesus make you ready for his marriage supper by submission to him? You ladies, whenever you were dating your potential husband, you'd already picked him out. Imogene told me that when I got out of the car and walked over there toward her, that God let me know that's the one. Well, I don't think he gave her much of a bargain, but he gave me a rare plum. But she wanted to know what I liked to eat. When I'd come to her house, she'd ask me, what do you like, lima beans, everything? And man, she checked me out. And she was going to marry me. She was determined. She told the girls in the car, that's the man I'm going to marry. Well, I didn't have any idea about that, but the first time I ever saw her, I fell madly in love with her. I proposed to her on the first date. I'd never done that before in my life. Now tell me, what man would be crazy enough to do that? But I loved her from the moment I saw her. And so by the time we got married, she knew everything about me, my likes and dislikes, and she prepared herself to be a good wife to me. I doubt if any other woman that ever lived could have been a better wife than she was to me. Well, that's what this bride making herself ready is all about. Who do you think knows what he likes? I don't know if Jesus likes pinto beans, but I know he ate some fish one time. But he knows what he likes. And we need to find out what he likes. There is no sex in such thing in heaven and being in the bride. There is no such thing as sex in heaven. But we'll be there. And do you know what he likes? I mean, can you honestly say, yes, Lord, I know exactly what you like. Don't kid yourself. Because I'm your pastor and I've been studying hard for a long time and I'm just finding out some things that he likes that I haven't been particularly fond of. But I want to do what he wants. In the perilous times in which you presently live, will Jesus consider you worthy to live in his city? That's where the bride's going to live. But she's not the only one in there. You got visitors. And that's interesting. Jesus lives in us to let us overcome by his faith. A lot of people skip over this in the Bible because they say, oh, salvation's by faith in him. And they skip over these and they misinterpret them. And some of these are scholars, and they know they misinterpret them. Jesus lives in us to let us overcome by his faith. We are overcomers because Jesus overcame for us. Now think about it. Could you ever have overcome if he hadn't done it for you? Could you ever have been good if he didn't give you his goodness? Could you have ever overcome if he wasn't the overcomer living in you? Did he not impute that to you also? Did he not impute your salvation to you? Did he not impute his righteousness to you? Did he not impute his goodness to you? Listen, you better give him credit for everything except evil. You better start doing that. And don't overrate yourself. Sometimes men overrate themselves tremendously. And they think they got the whole thing figured out. I was one of them. But I'm still learning. And I'm an overcomer because he imputed that to me. And he lives in me. And he will never leave me nor forsake you. So I really appreciated Leonard's devotional this morning. It was one of the best I've heard on that subject. Galatians 2:16-21. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. You look that up. I wasn't saved by my faith of Jesus Christ. I was saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I put all my faith in him, and it's still in him. And it's his faith that allowed him to be just and the justifier of them which believe in him. Jesus did what no other man has ever done. He had the faith of God because he was God. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. I'm not justified by my own faith. I'm justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. So how am I justified? I'm an overcomer. Because he made me an overcomer. And he's the only man who ever did overcome. He's the only man who ever was good. He's the only man who was ever righteous. And he imputed all three of those things to me. And he went on to say that he did it that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. I believe totally in Jesus as my salvation, as my... I believe that the law is manifested, being fulfilled in men, being me. Every time I do something that's right, it's him. Every time I do something wrong, it's me. He says, for if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Well, my goodness. I'm justified by Christ. And I'm still a sinner in the flesh. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I go back under the law and say, well, now that I'm saved, I need to keep the law, I need to do this, etc., 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 etc. He says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. How do you live unto God? You believe that he has all power in heaven and in earth, Jesus Christ does. You believe that we are to go and preach and teach that he has all power in heaven and in earth. Those who believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we go right ahead. If they receive him as Savior, and we baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then if we want to continue to please him and we want to be in a church which does, we go to in a church that actually teaches them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded. And lo, he is with us to the end of the world. Now I'm telling you, that's something to think about. Because you have to give him credit for everything. Well, what is credit? Praise. People talk about praising the Lord all the time. What is praise? Knowing who he is. Knowing what he's given you. Knowing how you're helpless without him. Knowing that he loved you and gave himself for you. Those are the things that regard praise. It's not just singing songs and having them bounce back from the ceiling. That is praise. There are many different forms of praise. But praise is telling people who he is, what he has done for them, what he's done for you, and that he has all power in heaven and earth, and that he keeps you eternally. To me, that's the gospel. So he says, if I build again things I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Oh my goodness, I died. Nevertheless I live. No, wait a minute. I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If Christ is alive in me, why isn't he the... Why am I not the... Dude, why did he not impute his overcoming to me? He had to. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It means he wasn't an overcomer. He overcame for me. He overcame for you. And when he saves us, he comes to live in us. And he wants us to do what he told the church in the Great Commission. You say, I never heard that before in my life. Well, you're hearing it now. And it's not a new doctrine. It was taught a long time ago by the Donatist. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Philippians 2:13 through 15. Well, we're here. And this was written to Timothy. He pastored churches. This next was written to Philippians. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You can do that if every time you realize you've disobeyed him, you've done something he doesn't like, you can ask him to forgive you. And you can let him pick you up. And believe it or not, he'll forgive you the next time you do it. And he'll make you feel bad the next time you do it. Well, how long does that go on? Till the first resurrection. Man, what a relief it's going to be not to have this sin nature. I hardly won't even recognize myself, probably. I'll probably be like Gomer Pyle. Golly. But I look forward to that. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard it, as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent. That means all powerful. Is there another way to say that? All power in heaven is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, our age. Amen. Wow. He's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. We're going to be here with him. Then he's going to continue right on into the next phase. Let us be glad and rejoice to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That does not mean that somehow she fired herself up and got on fire for Jesus and she changed herself. No, God changed her into what he wanted her to be. And what did she do? What did she do? She yielded herself to the Spirit of God. She obeyed God. Listen. If you'll continue faithful in one of God's churches and you'll continue to let the Lord change you, don't you take credit for it. Just thank God that you discover the only reason you were is because God was doing it in you in the person of Jesus Christ. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I've got his righteousness in me. He told the rich young ruler, he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good save God. You know why I'm good? Because I've got good Lord Jesus living in me. He's the only good thing about me. Nothing else about me is good. Nothing. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, there's going to be a lot of people called to the Lord's Supper, and there's going to be guests there. So, what are we supposed to do? Follow the Great Commission that he gave to the First New Testament Church. Ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Keep learning more about him. I tell you, the more you learn about him, the more you learn about yourself. And the more you learn about yourself, the more you learn about him. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Matthew 22:1-12. And Jesus answered and said unto them, and spake unto them by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, which made a marriage for his son. Here that would be an illustration of the Lord Jesus, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. That's the nation of Israel. Again, there were many people, saved people in Israel, but they sure didn't come to the wedding supper. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell them that were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all these things are ready. Come into the marriage. This is what Israel did. Does it sound like what we're doing today? Does it sound like what this generation is doing today? They've had a lot of preaching. They've had a lot of teaching. They've had a lot of people on television that were phonies. They've had a lot of false prophets. They've had God knows what else. And does this sound familiar? He says, they made light of it. Remember that message Tommy Brown preached, scoffers? It's true. It's true. And now many people who were church members scoff at it and went their ways. Their ways is possessive. They didn't go God's ways. What do you have to do? What are you supposed to do after you're saved? Told you about 4 times. You already knew it anyway. And went their ways, not God's ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And went their ways. Then he even tells you where some of the places they went. And went to his farm. His farm meant a lot more to him than God. Well, there are times your farm needs to mean more to you, not more to you than God, but you got to take care of your farm. God is not a heartless monger. He understands all that. Another to his merchandise. Mammon was more important to him. This is the Old Testament in Israel, that they were just like that when Jesus showed up. And quite frankly, What happened then after the true Messiah came and they liked mammon rather than the true Messiah and the remnant? This is talking about a Jewish remnant that was there when Jesus came, and even they rejected him. And the remnant took his servants, New Testament church members, and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go you out into the highways. Look up that word sometimes. And look it up in Bible Manners and Customs, and look it up in your different reference sources. Do you know that the Romans were the first one that laid down brick type roads in all of Israel? Do you know when he said, go ye therefore out into the highways? That is really referring to go out into the whole world. He's not telling them to get hot and get knocking on doors. That's fine. I'm going to tell you that again. That's fine. But he said, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. When God saves you, there is an invitation there to serve him. And if you really delight in God, you really delight in Jesus, then you'll be amazed how much God will teach you and how much closer you'll be to God. But you have to believe it. That means you have to desire it. You have to want it. And when you hear it, it convicts you if you don't do it. So these servants went out into the highways. Now, these are highways that ran all over the Roman Empire. And if you study the Roman Empire, and you'll study Bible Manners and Customs, you'll discover that the Romans had built these all over the place, and God had them do it because he knew that the apostles would need those roads to go out into all the world without getting waylaid or hung up in a mud hole. You say, well, you really believe? Yes, I do. And servants went out of the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And I think that's pretty well fits us. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Well, there's going to be guests there. There's going to be people out of the Old Testament. There's going to be people out of the New Testament. You say, what's the cue? The clue? What do we need? Listen. Faithfulness. Obedience. Failure. Then forgiveness. Then over and over and over and over again, and all the time, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, learning to control your temper, learning not to get mad when people correct you. Just go ahead and serve God, and then everything will work out fine. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, most preachers teach that that wedding garment is a garment of salvation. I do not believe that. I believe that he's shown to be in there because he was one of those that was unfaithful. He's in heaven, but he didn't have a wedding garment to go into the bride's wedding supper. So, Tommy Brown preached a message here on a lot of this. And church members had better wake up and realize that just because you're saved, you're not going to have it as well as other people in heaven who surrendered their lives to him. If surrendering your lives to him makes you think you've got to be martyred, you're wrong. If that happens, praise God. But if it doesn't happen, he's going to use you for something else. Using God is our purpose letting God use us in this life is a purposeful life. And he was speechless. What does that mean? He didn't know what to say. And this implies he still didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. That's pretty hard for a preacher. The expression, "hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," is used as quoted precisely in Revelation 7 times in a different format, 3 times in Revelation. Well, that's true. Repetition is a good way to learn something. And that's the way I learned that. 1 John 5:1-5. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Amen. That's when we know it. But you're going to be miserable until you make the effort and you know you're trying to keep God, and you won't sit there and get convicted. You'll finally do something about it. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Does this sound grievous? "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have beloved you." Judas wasn't there. He says, "As I have loved you, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I understand that now. God's taught me that. I understand it. God has changed me. He's got a lot more work to do. He's got a lot more work to do on every one of you too. It's something we really need to think about. "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." What good is my faith? My faith is in the faith of Jesus. My faith is in the faith of Jesus. Completely. My goodness is in Jesus' goodness, imputed to me. Absolutely. Righteousness is the same way. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Revelation 3:18-22. Now, church members, those of you who are saved but not scripturally baptized, those of you who are saved and you have scriptural baptism, and you're just not coming to church like you should, that's not between you and I. Believe it or not, I think it's just as much of you if you do or you don't, and that's hard to believe, but it's true. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that they mayest be rich." What you're doing in this life is laying up treasure in heaven. And it's not easy. Because you get persecuted for it, you get criticized for it, and if you ever submitted to preach, God help you. "That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve." This was a special place where you got this, and it did help your eyes to see better. "That thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." He loves me. I don't have one doubt about that. Because he rebukes me. Oh, I lost count of how many times I've been rebuked since I've been here. And he chastens me. He raises me. He's been raising me all my ever since I was saved. Well, I think he has raised me before I ever got saved. "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Oh, my. Have I learned to repent? And have I learned how gracious he is to let me repent. Behold, I stand at the door. That's the door of a church member's heart. And knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, a personal relationship with Christ. And he with me. This is a friend. This is a friend. This is like Abraham. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, in these last days where we are, I tell you, if we straighten out our own lives by the power of Christ that's in us, if we keep seeking forgiveness and repent when we know we've done something or said something we shouldn't, and we ask God to forgive us and we let God pick us up and keep on going, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want to tell you that this is something that you don't have a lot of time to turn around. And what it really entails is, what means the most to me in my life? God, my family. Those two work together perfectly. Mammon. That doesn't fit in there. But I thank God I can't make the decision for you. I thank that God he left it up to you individually. Ken, will you and Leonard go back with me? And first thing I want to know is it got money in it?
Yes.